Life Audio.
Hey, it's time for Cynthia Garrett's Girl Club. I'm Cynthia Garrett, and I will be right with you in just a moment after this.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cynthia Garrett's Girl Club right here on the Cynthia Garrett Ministries, Cynthia Garrett platform. I got to tell you something. First of all, for those of you who are joining on live stream through Cynthia Garrett Ministries YouTube channel, we love interacting with you weekly. I'm going to ask you guys to all like us, subscribe, and share. But for those of you who are watching the actual visual recording of this podcast every week live, which we do on Mondays, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, 12 noon on the East Coast. Okay, so for those of you watching, then you're gonna kind of get this. I love our promo, our show open. Now on podcast, you're only hearing the music, but I've always loved it. So for those of you who are watching visually, you get what I'm saying. I just had to recognize that I love that show open. And I want to give a shout out to Anna Richards, who is my right hand in, I would just say this ministry, but she's also my right hand in a lot of the rest of my life. And sometimes we don't sing a song about the unsung heroes. So today I just wanted to take 2 seconds to sing a little I Love You, Anna Richards song. We all love you. She is the part of Girl Club that you don't see on screen. And boy, are you going to see a lot of real girls having real talk about real issues while seeking to apply our real faith today, because we have a full house in the studio. And joining me is just absolutely everyone. Christina Boudreau in the pink sweatshirt. What's up,
Hello.
CB? Nova Page wearing black and white checks today. Hi, Nova.
Hi, guys.
I love that. I love your surfer girl blonde pigtails so much. They're so cute. And then we have Christina Reynolds, who's in gold, looking all beautiful in the corner, even though I think she was like, you know, feeling a little bit question marky about the conversation we had last week. Emotional. Yes. About
okay,
God ordering our footsteps. Yeah. Emotional. We all get really emotional around here. And then of course we have our little tiny teen evangelist, Summer Garrett, joining us today. And there is a reason we do look alike and have the same last name, just so you know, if you're watching. All right. So to all the boys and all the girls who are with us this week, I want to sort of put a bow on a couple of things. First of all, it's like there's so many bows to put on. There's so little time. We could be here with you all day. But we were, you know, we kind of got off last week acknowledging the mess that's going on in Israel. And so we did want to sort of acknowledge for all of you watching that we are joining you in prayer. You know, our hearts are in prayer for protection for Israel and for all the families and the children and the people that get caught in the middle of these messes between governments and political ideologies, and for all of even the Palestinian families who are being harmed through what Hamas is doing. We just want to offer our prayers, you know, and our love and our support, and I just got back from Israel a few weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago. It's their Jubilee in Israel, and I love Israel, and I love the Israeli people. And if any of you guys has anything you want to offer to that, I know that it's heavy on all of our hearts. So we were, Nova, did you have a comment about that?
Honestly, Cynthia, I think my heart is just heavy right now. I think, you know, I've shared with you guys, I've been homeschooling Shiloh. And so, you know, we're going through the Old Testament, we're going through the God story. And, you know, for me to be able to help even connect those dots with my daughter, like about God's people. And I look at them and I'm like, God, you love them so much. And my prayer is that the people who do not see Christ as the Savior would come to Christ. And this, we know that this is God's story, and we don't know everything, but we do know that those are God's people. And so we pray for the people of Israel, and we want, you know, we want to preach the gospel. And the night before it happened, my husband and I were on our anniversary date. And then that day was our anniversary, actually, that the attack happened. But I remember looking at him and going, honey, the time I feel like it's short. I feel like we have got to do what God has called us to do, because this is kingdom. Like this now is the time. And so I felt this urgent. I told him, I go, I feel there's an urgency. Like we don't have time to waste. And maybe that's how it's always supposed to be. But I just had felt this stirring in my heart. And so I grew up, my parents were very much always talking to us about Israel and the things that were happening in the world. And so I grew up in this household where, you know, my dad was always talking about Israel and like how things playing out in the world. This was God's story. And so I just, you know, my heart is for God's people.
Yeah.
For the
Amen.
Jews.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, as all of us remember from last week, if you were here, man, talking about God's people, we were speaking about, you know, and dealing with the question, do you really believe that God is ordering your footsteps? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nova, what you just said reminds me that as we look at, you know, the chaos in the Middle East, as we look at what is going on with Israel, if we line that up with the Bible that we read, that we have placed our faith and hope in, then we know that Revelation has spoken about all of this. And we believe that there is an ordering of all of this. You know, we have to understand that he wins in the end. God wins, period. And, you know, you can fight about who God is out there, but it's interesting to me because I really believe that the truth of Christ in the story of who God is will be made manifest for all to see. Mm-hmm. And that, as the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, I believe the scripture that says all of creation waits, you know, hungers and waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. So I just think as we process all of this, you know, against this question of, is God really ordering our footsteps? Yeah, I think he's ordering our footsteps. He's ordering the actions of the world. He's ordering the sun and darkness and the sun to rise in the morning and darkness to come at night. He has ordered everything since the beginning of time.
Amen.
You know, he has created everything since the beginning of time. And the best, and not to say that he wants these bad things to happen, mm-hmm. but I believe that the God who knows the end at the beginning knew that these bad things would happen, and he has prepared a way out for his children. And like you said, Nova, he loves the Jews. Jesus Christ was a Jew. You know, it's funny. I wear this since I went to Israel for Jubilee. I wear my Jewish Star of David, my cross, and my Tree of Life. And someone came up to me the other day at something and said, oh, I've never seen that before. That's interesting. And I said, are you a Christian? And they were like, oh yeah. And I'm like, well, what book are you reading or not reading? Because I said, because the first guy I ever fell in love with was a Jew. And she looked at me, I was like, Jesus, he was a Jew. Like, it was like, oh my goodness. And I really, that scared me a little bit. Cause like, we got to know this, right? Our Savior is a Jewish man. I mean, yeah, and amen. So anyway, I just, you know, in the ordering of our footsteps, God takes us through some tough stuff. And that's kind of where we left off with, with you, Christina. You just, Reynolds, you taught such a, it was just a beautiful lesson that you shared in navigating the pain of your own journey in all of this. And recognizing that sometimes our footsteps are, he's ordering them in ways we, that don't look like anything we thought our life would look like. And in that, I've also been watching my niece, my daughter niece down there, Summer, on the screen, who's in studio today. I watched her in that Bible study that, you know, I spoke about it last week. Our flight was canceled. We ended up staying in a Bible study in Dallas with some of our spiritual sons. And man, the Lord just spoke and poured out. And in he was speaking and pouring out to Summer so much that when she showed me her notes later, I mean, she's like, I wasn't just writing on my phone. Look, I mean, she had pages of downloads that the Lord was giving her. And in the ordering of our footsteps and in the asking of that question, which God really gave me to ask last week, do you believe that God is ordering your footsteps? I thought about Summer also. And I thought about how sometimes the Lord orders our footsteps out of situations and away from people. And he does that to protect us. He does that to get us in line with our calling. He does that to move us forward in our life. He does that so that we can receive the ultimate blessings that he has for us. And Christina, I think that is as relevant for you as it is for Summer, as it is for me and CB and for Nova. Like, we all have experienced the pain, the question mark, the confusion, the now what, God, the, oh, I have to walk away from this or these people, God, in the ordering of our footsteps. And so, Summer, as a young person, is it difficult when God orders your footsteps away from a friend?
I think so. I mean, I think it's hard because, like, especially as a young person, I feel like not a lot of people are making that choice to be surrendered in that way, where you're just willing to give up anything and anyone. I mean, it's harder, I think, but and a lot of, I mean, there's going to be times where it's both, like where God shows you why, but there's also going to be times where he doesn't show you why. But I think for me, well, I know for me, I just have so much trust in the Lord. And I just have, like, I just know, like, it's always for a good reason. Like, that couldn't even, like, that doesn't even really hit the point enough. Like, the reason that he wants me to do what he wants me to do is always for good. And like, God is always speaking to us, but I always feel like if he's like, hey, like, I got to get this message to you, like, right away, I'm going to cancel your flight, we're going to be in this Bible study, I'm going to speak to you about this, and I'm going to show you this, like, if it's that important, I mean, everything God says is important, but I think to be obedient and live surrendered to him is to, like, put everything on the altar, whether it be friends, like, family. And I mean, it could be a season, for a reason, forever, but it's always for the best. But yeah, I would say as a young person, to answer your question, like, the hardest part is just that, I mean, like, people around you are not making those choices and they don't get it, but like, it's me and God, it's not me and everybody else. And then at the end of the day, like, I feel pulled to be a leader, not a follower. And the only person that I follow is God. So for me, like, if someone's not meant to be in my life, then, and God is saying that, it's for a very good reason. And my life is surrendered to the Lord. So I know that I'll always be in a good situation, following what he's telling me to do. And I'll always be protected and in a safe space with them.
Yeah. Hey, Christina Reynolds, because I think you were expressing just an awareness of the pain of not really knowing where he's taking you. Sometimes when you hear him, you're following, he's reordering your footsteps. You're putting one foot in front of the other, but it's like, it's all faith. You know, it's all faith. what do you, I mean, do you think it's easier for Summer because she's got this lesson young? Like sometimes I look at the lessons that she has at such a young age, and I wonder if my life today would be easier in certain ways with some of this stuff if I had just surrendered to it when I was so young that there's no other way to live.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I would hope so. I would hope that would be easier for you, Summer. I mean, I look at my kids right now, like my son turned 12. He's already like 12 and a half. He's like so much taller than me. Like his emotional awareness, just like his maturity has just crossed this. It's just leveled up. I don't know what happens when your kids turn 12, they just like level up. And like, even just, I'm seeing like what he's having to experience now as a 12-year-old. I'm like, when I was 12, I don't even know what I was doing. But because he's been in a context of a loving family who I hope that we are leading him and showing him by example, you know, how to trust the Lord, how to surrender to him on a daily basis. You know, I'm seeing that his maturity level is so far beyond what mine was at 12. And even recently, like they had a really, really hard games, really hard football games yesterday. And the things that were coming out of his mouth, like, you know, it just hurts that we lost because I'm a leader and I should be carrying the team better at 12 years old. Right. So that's just my example of when kids are being taught and shown and guided in such a way in maturing, you know, spiritually and emotionally, like they really do get to soar well beyond our years sooner. So I do think that it would be easier, but at the same time, with this whole idea, this whole reality of God ordering our steps, I do believe that God is the only person who's able to redeem. Jesus is the only person who's able to redeem our time. So I used to kick myself thinking, man, I wish I wasn't doing drugs at 18. Think of who I could have been now. But then I think of like the Lord's grace and his power to redeem, his power to, in a sense, turn back time, in a sense, yes. You know, and in a sense to, you know, like restore the things that I had lost for like, I mean, my whole childhood. It's like, I actually don't regret. I feel like I hope that I can help like my son and his friends and the other children around us to not have to deal with that, you know, just like soar. You know, so, yeah. But I'm not at all regretting anymore. Like I used to regret about my choices because I see the Lord's supernatural ability to take me where I need to go. But I just want to talk about your point about like surrendering. I think the pain of surrendering into the Lord's leadership, allowing him to order your steps step by step, is that most of the time he doesn't show me anyways. This is where you're going to be 20 years from now. So hold on to that, girl. Cause you know, like I have no idea. Do you know what we got prophesied over us in 2017 or 18. We were in California, Cynthia. You took us to like a prophetic night. And then at another worship night, we got prophesied that this big thing, your family is going to be, your name is going to be a household name, all this big stuff, right? Like, okay, whatever. You're going to be in ministry doing this and that, whatever. But the one word that stuck was one man came up to us and said, but in order for you to be prepared for all of that, you're going to go through massive, massive suffering almost and pain through the hands of people. And it has been since that day, it's been 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. It's been like 5 years of unbearable, like, how do I walk through forgiveness because Christians are the worst? Or like, it's hard for me to step in a church because Christians are the worst. Like it's been this The Lord told us that that would happen. And that was the preparation that was needed for us to be entrusted with whatever he had for us. And so like that daily surrender and then not knowing what it's going on to, I think that's the rub of the pain and that it's not, you don't know what the glory is. It's all, you know, in his heart, but you know, what's good. Like what Summer says, you're going to be safe. You're going to be okay. But in the moment that faith, that's where the faith gets rubbed. It's like, do I really believe? Because, man, I'm surrendering. I am, but I don't know.
You know what? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I learned a beautiful saying from old and beautiful man of God, who all of you know as Denzel Washington. So I'm just going to say it because I have to attribute this to him. I've never lost this. And he looked at me one day, we're all doing whatever and hanging out. And he said, you know, and he had so much, there was so much in it when he said it, all of his success, all of his fame, his life, his family, everything, but you know, all of it. And he said, heavy is the head of he who wears the crown. And I thought about that on every level for years since he said that. Jesus wore a crown. Heavy was the head of him who wore the crown. We often get called in our lives in some way to wear crowns. I mean, we say it, we're daughters of a king. That means we're queens. We're princesses until we're queens. Heavy is the head of she who wears the crown, right? Our sons, as they're being, you know, going through life and we're trying to raise them to go from being, you know, princes to being kings, you know, heavy is the head of he who wears the crown. The leadership, the mantle of leadership is heavy, you know, and Christina, what that person told you in that study was simply, hey, there is a glory coming to your life, but that glory has a weight and that crown has a weight. And you know, but it's worth it. It's worth it. You know, it's worth it. I can say it for my own life. It's worth it. You know, it's been worth it. You know, Summer, I'm sorry, baby. I jumped in there.
No, it's okay. I was just going to add, like, I think it's so important to, like, remember, because I just think, like, there's so many times when I was like, okay, I'm surrendering. I'm like, I don't know, like, this is only, like, what I want to do, but this is what I feel like I should do. And, I mean, I trust the Lord more than I trust myself. And, like, and sometimes I wouldn't see the outcome or the why or the reason why at all, because, like, sometimes we just don't get that. But then there are times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I was protected from this. Oh my gosh, like I wanted my way in this situation, but I'm so glad I didn't get my way because like I was protected from this, or this didn't happen and this didn't work out. But then I got this and it was way better than what I could have put together. So I think it's so important to like remember God's resume, because I think like it really carries you for the next time that he asks you to surrender. Because it's always for like a really good reason. And I am just a witness to that. And I just feel like that's like the most important thing to remember. If he's asking you to like surrender in some way. And Roger, he always tells me like, you know, my life is the Lord's. And that's something that I remember too. Like at the end of the day, like I'm not entitled to things going my way. Like my life is the Lord's. And I live surrendered to him and for his will. And so I think a lot of times that takes me out of it, and that reminds me like who I serve is who I also trust, and I'll walk blind for him. But it's okay and it's good, because when I look back to the times where he has shared with me why, it was always for the better, and I always come out like well off. You know, there's a verse and it says, severed from the branch you can do nothing, but like with him you'll bear much fruit. And the fruit that he's talking about is peace, joy, like happiness. And I think, like, if nothing else, doing things his way will lead to peace and joy and happiness and just good fruit. And like my mom always says, if you're about God's business, he'll be about yours. So everything's always going to work out for the better, because you'll bear much fruit, you'll be protected, and you'll always be taken care of. So I wanted to add that to you too.
Yeah. Simplistic truths that are so not, it's interesting, you know, truth is actually simple. We complicate it, you know, it's complicated in the world that we live in. And, you know, Nova, in your experiences in all of this, I kind of feel like through a lot of deep waters, you know, a lot of painful ordering of your footsteps through things that you didn't necessarily choose to walk through. Like a lot of times we just don't choose to walk through what we're being asked to walk through. We don't want to, you know. Are you sort of in a place now where you're seeing the actual providence of God and the purposes of God for your life because of all of it?
Cynthia, the only thing that I can think to say is, for I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives within me. The life now I live in the body, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's it. You know, I look at God's story, and it is not, it's not about me, but I have been grafted in, and I get to be part of God's story and to see the gospel come and sweep this earth, that people would come to know Jesus. And I'm like, my life may not look all that cool or perfect, and I might not be in with the right people, and I might not, you know, reach these high levels, but like, I'm so excited that I get to be part of God. I'm shaking because I feel like God just saying, like, you guys, this is my story, and I'm inviting you into this story. And this is about people coming to know me. And this is about my love for you. And I displayed my love for you so beautifully. And it's not to like say that all the things that we struggle with, they are so important, but this is part of his story. And it's not about me. That's what I'm learning. It's just not about me, but I get to be part of all of this. And I'm so grateful. And the things that I've walked through, and you guys, it started beginning of ministry, like really hard things that just about crushed me. And I know that the enemy has always wanted to shut us up and put us on a shelf and not share the love of Jesus with people. But can't stop, won't stop.
Amen. You know what's, it's interesting. It's not, and when you said that, I felt the Holy Spirit say, add a caveat. It's not just that the enemy wants to shut us up so that we don't share the love of Jesus. It's that the enemy doesn't, the enemy wants to shut us up so that we don't share our testimony of Jesus.
The truth.
Because that, the truth, the transparent truth that we share with you every week when we cry with you, laugh with you, and share with you the stuff that we're going through, including the questioning of, can I do this? Can I do this? I'm upset about this. Yeah, I'm going through this season and everything is ugly. It's like ridiculous. And Christians can be horrible. And then you see the ones who can be the most horrible and they're blessed. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense, God. And all of that is part of this.
All of it is part of this. You know, I think too, and I know that we've all probably shared this before, but I think however God is ordering our steps, and we're all of you have mentioned that word, like I'm submitting, I'm surrendering to Christ. I think that we can count ourselves blessed, which I don't, when I'm in it, I'm going to tell you, it is hard for me to say that, but the blessing in it is now we know. Now we can move forward differently. We've just gotten the most incredible college tuition paid for. Like, you know what I'm saying? We've just gone to school and received so much, right? And we can choose differently. We can treat people differently. We can look like the hands and feet of Jesus differently, because it's our responsibility now, because now we know. And once you know, once you've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, when you've been walking through the fire and not getting burned, you know how to do things differently. And it's a great responsibility, and it's awesome, and it's scary, but now we know. Now we know. So we can live different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have to choose it.
It is definitely a choice. It is definitely a choice, because I mean, look, the reality is Summer got a very clear direction, you know, a very clear direction to walk away from someone. It's still her choice. I mean, God loves us and he gives us choice in all of this, you know, and I often say that, you know, if I was stranded on an island and my husband was the only person there to love, that's, so I choose him and okay, I guess I love him. That's not a choice. That's not a choice. Instead, God puts us in the world surrounded by people and things and situations. And then he gives us a choice. And if my husband did that, you know, and I still came and navigated my way to choosing him, that's real love and that's real choice. And that's what God's asking us for. He wants us to make the choice in the difficult moments, in the difficult things, not when it's easy. It's easy for me to decide not to go outside when it's raining. That's an easy choice to make. It's cold and it's wet, you know. But what if he says, I want you to stay inside and pray all day with me and it's beautiful outside and I want to go enjoy the sunshine and blah, blah, blah. Harder choice, right? You know, Christina Boudreau, I mean, you're saying yes to a choice in which God's ordering your footsteps to another country to go and preach the gospel in South America. You could say no to that. You could choose not to walk that particular, you know, road. He could say, this is where my foot, this is where I'm ordering your footsteps. You could refuse to put one foot in front of the other and walk through that door, but you're not. Why? Why? Why are you not saying no? Why do you choose to follow what, where God is ordering you?
Yeah. You know, Cynthia, you know, I was thinking about, you know, just here in the U.S., as I've talked with just friends here, right? Like people have said, well, you have a lot of ministry here. You have a lot of opportunity here. And I think about like how people don't leave the big city to go to a small town to be famous, you know, like Nova and Christina as singers, like it doesn't make sense, right? Like people go from a small town to Nashville or to L.A., but in a sense of ministry, that's essentially what I'm doing. I'm going to places where there isn't big ministry, where there isn't like big church conferences or big anything. Like I'm going to like places where there it's like non-existent essentially to just see the Lord move. And so for me, even this move to South America has brought me back to just the purity of ministry, like why we do what we do. We go to see the captive set free and to see people saved. And for me, I've always known in my life, my purpose is to share the gospel, to see people get saved, but also to see the Lord set the captives free. He saves people, then he sets them free. And I think with so many people in ministry, and I've told people that here, like in California, they're just like, why would you go? The Lord's, you know, you have a lot of opportunity here. And I'm like, I don't care about opportunity, dude. There's so much ministry here. You have the same, that there's like, you know, there's so many conferences, there's so many books, there's so many CDs, there's so many worship leaders, there's so many speakers, evangelists, there's so much of that. But I'm looking at a land where I'm just like, yeah, there's nothing. And when I went there in August, you know, when we toured seven cities, by God's grace, our friends there, you know, from the Calvary Chapel there that I'll be based out of, they started two Bible studies. Like they planted two Bible studies in areas where there are going to be churches with just kids from schools that got saved, you know, like in areas where there's like gangs and cartels and girls that are just, the abuse is on a level that I've never seen before, like in India. And, you know, and I think as the Lord leads us, like for me in the season of my life, I'm like, I don't care about opportunity. I don't care about like another stage, another conference. I don't care about another radio show or podcast. Like I don't do ministry for those things. I know that God has, and I think when you come to a point in life where you're like, I've been put through this fire for this long. I've been waterboarded by the enemy for this long. Like, because God has a purpose for me, where I literally looked at South America and I was like, this is why I've gone through so much. And it's for this purpose that I literally looked at the sword, like in my, you know, my spirit, man, the Lord gave me a vision of this gnarly sword. And I was like, I'm going to take this sword with all the fires that it's been forged in. And I'm going to take it to South America and I'm going to see the Lord set the captives free. And I think you have to get to that point in life where you're like, okay, I've been beat down by the enemy for so long, but the Lord has allowed this and I'm not going to just waste it. Yeah. I'm going to take it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to throw it back at him tenfold.
Yeah.
Because you have to. That's the redemption of Christ. Like, Joseph didn't stay in the prison. Job didn't stay, lost everything. The Lord redeemed everything and used them. So God has a purpose in everything. And that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm like, dude, I'm ready to go to war, dude. If the Lord has a husband for me from last week's episode, that's too. But I'm ready to go to war because I'm like, Lord, like, I'm ready, dude. Like, I feel like I'm in my prime spiritually, to be honest. You know, where I'm like, yes, Lord, I've been through the fire a few times, but dude, I'm coming out of the spiritual gym and I'm feeling strong in you. And I'm ready to like go out, dude. And I'm ready to like see some Goliaths taken down through God's spirit, because I'm like, Lord, I don't want all this to go to waste. I've been through too much, dude. Like, I'm like, redeem it all, Lord, you know? And I feel like that's our season. Like, the Lord is going to redeem it all. Nova, Christina's, you know, Cynthia's, you know, Summer's life. Like, it's time, dude. He's going to redeem it.
Yeah. Amen. I believe that wholeheartedly. And, you know, I think the answer, it's sort of like, why do you say yes and not no, is kind of simple. When God has, when you see God moving all around you through your circumstances, which sometimes includes through people, pushing you and shifting you out of a place that you're in, even a comfortable place that you're in, you know that saying no is an actual literal looking at God and saying, I know that this is all you telling me to go left, but no, I'm going to sit here or I'm going to go right. And I think that's why we say yes. Like, when God makes it obvious, I mean, he made it obvious that we were supposed to be in Dallas last week in this Bible study. And he showed me multiple lives of young women in that study and young men, multiple lives that were literally impacted in that moment because I missed a flight. By the way, missed a flight that I shouldn't have even missed. The flight was canceled, but I'm sitting there in the hotel room waiting to get ready to take our 7 p.m. flight. Summer's out on her run. She is Forrest Gump. You may see her running through your city shortly because she just runs and runs and runs and runs. So she's out running around Dallas, and I get a text message at like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Your 7 p.m. flight is canceled for weather. Like, weather? It's sunny outside, guys. It was sunny outside and clear. I'm like, what weather is this about? So I don't have any choice but to go with it. We got rolled to a flight the next morning. Crazily enough, we were rolled to the same flight my husband was on the next morning because he was staying anyway. Right. Got provision. When God is ordering your footsteps, he already has the vessels provided. You just have to get in and keep going. So I'm like, oh, okay, we're supposed to be here, I guess. That's that. I'm not going to fight the funk. And that Bible study changed lives, but it also changed my life because it reminded me of what I need more of. It reminded me of what really gives me joy. It showed me, and Christina, you're going to see this because you said last week, ultimately my husband CJ and I are finding ourselves in youth ministry, greatest kind of ministry, because that means that by natural purposes, you're going to be alive to see the fruit of your ministry bear fruit. I mean, I sat there and just cried watching Tarek run this study, watching Maurice with his, you know, run his arena, watching Lubbock walking in his leadership and looking at the young women that they've chosen to marry, young women of God, looking at the children they're producing and how they're starting to raise them. Like, I sat there and I'm like, I am alive to see my fruit bearing fruit. If you're a grandparent, and when you become a grandparent, you know what that is, right? You have a child. Now your child's having children and oh, wow. It's so great. The experience of having grandchildren. I don't know. I don't have any yet. I'm still praying about that. But the point is, I know I look forward to that day. And so I can honestly tell you guys, like, when that God has poured you to pour into young people, to me, is the greatest gift he can give, because you're going to be alive and you're going to be the young, cool one who gets to rock with them as they walk with Christ and see them as they bear fruit. And nothing's more satisfying. And when I compare it to, well, I guess I could have stayed in Hollywood knee deep in the middle of it until I was as big as Oprah. sometimes I do wonder how she, you know, how is she her? She has zero wisdom compared to me. She don't even have any talent compared to me. Like, I go there sometimes, right? Chris, you know, and Christina Novitz as really skilled, gifted singers and songwriters, you got to go there sometimes and go, hold up a second. I know you guys can write some music. I know you can sing some songs. There's going to be those moments, I think, where the enemy is just going to make you aware, like, wait, you could do this. You should be that. You should, the enemy says you should be that, right? God in me says, you could be that. You've chosen to be this. And with me, I'm using you for more. And he's showing me the more every day. And the more is really about people and lives. And honestly, you know, it's like that old saying, you know, what's your legacy really about? Like when you die, is anybody going to remember if you won a Grammy? I cannot tell you who won last year's Oscar for best film or best actor or actress. I forget within about 48 hours of the Oscars every year. That is so correct, guys. Nobody remembers who did what in the world a year later. Not really. What people remember are the things that you do or did that impact lives, that change their life. You know, I remember the people that changed my life. I remember the situations that changed my life. I might even remember a movie that I saw that really impacted my soul or my heart, but it's usually because it was something very deep. You know, what's deeper than Christ and the journey that he has us on, being able to impact and change the lives of people around us? You know, what's deeper than that? Not a lot, you know, not a lot. I have to believe that he keeps ordering my footsteps back even to Girl Club, you know? I believe that with all my heart. Like, I get offered, you know, do this. Why don't you try this? We'd love to do this. And there's something in me, and it's God. It's God. You know, my footsteps, my feet keep pointing right toward what he said about during the pandemic with this, you know, with this whole thing, with these Girl Club weeks that I really, sometimes I don't even get it. I know how I feel when I walk away. I know it's Jesus when I walk away. I know it's Jesus when I hear you guys share. I know it's Jesus when I consider the fellowship we have. Sometimes it's just about Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 when he's ordering your footsteps. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He'll direct your footsteps. He'll direct your path. If I leaned on my own understanding on any given day, I would shrivel up in a dark corner in tears and die of fear. That's how dark my darkness can go. I would just die of fear and darkness. So I don't lean on my own understanding because my own understanding will have me depressed all day long. I just acknowledge him. I see him here. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord, direct my paths. I see you. I mean, I see you. And I think we've all had an experience where we walk away from a Girl Club going, yeah, that was great. Saw the Lord again. Sometimes that's all he gives. But then it's faith that is about putting one foot in front of the other. So I think if anybody, unless one of you guys has something to add as we close this week, I think we're about at the end of this particular episode. And, you know, I've been praying about guests, having guests on with us. In our country, we're going into an election season. And I'd love your prayer about this. Each of you here, my Girl Club co-hosts and tribe, I'd love your prayers about this. And I'd love for all of you watching to pray about this. Give us your comments and your thoughts. But there are a lot of guests who are believers, who are very big political voices, very big influential voices. And we have an opportunity. I have to speak to them. And a part of my heart is really aligned in bringing them into this situation so that we can speak to them and that we can hear from them and that we can look for God's point of view in all of it. So I just would ask that you be praying about that. I think it's important that as we navigate through tumultuous times, you know, in our nations, we try to see God's movement in all of it. How is he directing our footsteps in it? How is he showing us how to help other people find Christ in the madness? And that's kind of where I'll ask for prayer. So I love you guys. And that is it for this week. And from all of us to all of you, I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Hey, Ted, what do you want to do today?
Well, Ashley, I've always got work to do, naps to take. But I have a better idea. How about we invite everyone to listen to the Team Us podcast?
I love that idea. Let's do it right now. Hi, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater, and we'd love for you to join us as we talk about teamwork in marriage.
We share how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
To listen, go to lifeaudio.com and search for Team Us.